All right, 11:01 on this Monday midday. Mark Melusis with you in for BT and Sal, and BT on the and Sal show on the Fan, presented to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Let's kick off this 11 o'clock hour. Did a lot of Mets in hour number one, and their rotation: Kodai Senga, non-committal Carlos Mendoza. About him making the next turn through, but make sure to circle on the calendars. McLean starts tomorrow night out in Detroit against the Tigers. So we'll see exactly what Nolan could do. Start number four, as he's been brilliant for the first three starts of his major league career with a 0.89 ERA. As far as the Yankees are concerned, and it's been like the headline that he's tied Yogi and talking about Aaron Judge, and I don't want to be kind of a negative Nelly on this Monday, on this Labor Day, on a day off, everyone enjoying closing out summer, football is almost upon us. But listen, yes, he deserves his place there, and it kind of emphasized the other guys on the list all won. And what I mean by winning, I'm not talking about regular season, I'm not talking about getting to the playoffs and, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping for the best, and it's a, you know, it's a crapshoot. Everything that you hear, the inherent excuses that are given now, build for the regular season, hope for the best in October, all the nonsense that you hear now spewed by Major League Baseball executives that can go out there, and it bothers you when you think about the Yankees. But yes, I mean, Judge has hit a lot of home runs over his Major League career. He has, and I don't think he's anywhere done yet. He does turn 34 next April. The clock is ticking here on the New York Yankees in order to try and win a World Series with number 99, being peak form. And it's good to see him starting to turn a corner here. Now the big key for the Yankees here moving forward is when, you know, Judge can finally go out there and return to the outfield, which would help this lineup, even with Stanton going out there and playing a right field, because you just hold your breath, and the Yankees certainly do, that some sort of injury is coming Stanton's way. The big positive out of a loss yesterday, and it was a bad, I mean, tough loss. I mean, the Yankees, you know, the late home run off of Hill, the Yankees lose it 3-2. Their 7-game winning streak comes to an end. They were 2 games down in back of the Toronto Blue Jays in the American League East going into action yesterday afternoon. Now they're 3 back after Toronto's victory yesterday. And now the important 12-game stretch for the New York Yankees gets going tomorrow night down in Houston against the Astros. But the positive coming out of yesterday, even in a loss, and you'll take it if you're the Yankees, even in an L, even with the fact of, and they're going to be a playoff team, they're the top wild card team as we speak, sitting here on this Monday morning in the American League, is that Heel looked a lot better yesterday. Boone talked about it, 5 1/3 innings of work, had the 7 strikeouts. We talked about Heel being able to, you know, throw strikes, and that's a big-time key for Heel here moving forward for the New York Yankees, and to add to that starting rotation, because, you know, as they're, you know, you've seen Freed be better last two starts. Rodon has been really good, pretty good, even though I don't trust him necessarily in a big spot. You give Carlos Rodon credit. He's been good this year. Schlittler, obviously, has been a godsend to this team. The young hurler pitching to an under 3 ERA for the New York Yankees, you know, being reliant on that velocity, but still being able to, spot that velocity and throw and, you know, be able to hit his pitches inside and outside corners with that fastball has been pretty impressive in throwing his secondary pitches for strikes as well. Schlittler has been a guy that when you watch him says, well, yeah, he belongs, and he's been really good. Heel, coming off the season a year ago in which he was downright dominant, you were looking at him and saying, well, you know, you want to have a scenario here when he came off the IL and you finally saw him where he starts to resemble the pitcher that he once did a year ago. Not all that long ago, not 5 years ago, not 10 years ago. We're talking about last season. And Heel yesterday started to resemble that. You know, starting, and the command and the control has got to be all the way back. And he's not necessarily there yet, but it was a baby step forward for Heel. You don't question the stuff. You don't question the health. You question whether or not he can go out there and throw his stuff for strikes consistently, which he was able to do a year ago, and the swing and miss nature to his stuff as well, and the late life to that fastball too, and even a loss to Chicago, you'll take it. So that's the positive. Now you learn a little something about the Yankees. And I understand it's a regular season learning lesson for the New York Yankees, but you do learn a little something now here moving forward. The next 12 games in which the Yankees have a combined record of 7-19 against these two against these four teams that they're going to face, where it's, you know, it's Houston, you know, Detroit, Toronto, and then the Boston, Houston, Toronto, Detroit, and then the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees are 7-19 against those four teams this season. Now, we can, and I've had Yankee fans push back and say, well, look at the teams and look at their record where they're above 500. You keep on saying the National League is better than the American League. Look at the AL and NL and the matchup, and the American League has beaten the National League more this year during the course of the regular season. And, you know, you could spin it any which way you can. At some point in time, like, you look at the Yankees at this season, and they've done a tremendous job of beating the teams that they should beat, and they've done a poor job when they've had to step up into the competition and beat winning teams, especially the four that they're about to face coming up within the division. You know, Toronto has owned them. The Boston Red Sox have owned them. You know, the Detroit Tigers took two or three earlier in the season, and the Houston Astros, historically speaking, have been the Yankees' daddy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When the Yankees, and it still bothers Brian Cashman to this day, that people bring up the World Series drought, because he, and even though the Yankees made the Fall Classic a year ago, the fact that they haven't won a World Series since 2009 because of the Astros cheating scandal and what transpired in 2017. Well, that, you know, that's a story for another day. Now, the Yankees, you want to see them show a little bit of a pulse against these teams. Like, that's really not all that much to ask. You know, I could scream and holler. I could come on the airwaves this morning and talk about the, you know, the lack of accountability. I could talk about what the Yankees deemed to be successful today's day and age of Yankee baseball as compared to 20, 30 years ago. We could talk about George. We could talk about, you know, the lack of fundamentals when you're looking at this team. I could tell you that I don't think the Yankees play consistently well enough or quality of baseball to go out there and win a World Series in 2025. And you could come out and say, well, listen, Mark, I mean, we've seen it before. Teams that all of a sudden find it, build a little bit of momentum, start playing their best baseball in the month of October, and even though they weren't necessarily dominant during the course of the regular season, they end up winning a World Series. Wouldn't that be good enough? Yeah, that would be good enough. I'd like to see the Yankees win a World Series. You know, I was joking around with CeeLo. Everyone we talk about with Judge, you know, meeting up or, you know, with Yogi Berra. Well, everybody on that home run list for the New York Yankees, they all won. I mean, they all won World Series. The clock is ticking to go out there and win a World Series with Aaron Judge. And the next 12 games, you'd like to see, because I've heard one athlete after another tell me over the course of my career that confidence is king. You know, there's not a lot that separates. I sat down and chatted with Jackson Dart a couple weeks ago out at the Giants practice facility, and, you know, talking to him about the quarterback position, what separates him from everybody else. He said, well, listen, you know, everybody that has an opportunity to compete in the National Football League, they're all of a certain athletic ability. Not a lot separates one from the other. There are other things that do. And when it comes to leadership, have a penchant for meeting the moment. He didn't say that at the time, but you get the point. Like, that's where you look at the Yankees here is, you know, you want to start to build a little bit of confidence in the regular season. It's hard to think that the Yankees, who haven't won a World Series as an organization since 2009, a Yankee team that got embarrassed by the Los Angeles Dodgers last year in the Fall Classic, a Yankee team this year during the course of the regular season that has not been fundamentally sound, is all of a sudden going to flip some switch come October, and they're all of a sudden going to play great baseball consistently against upper echelon teams without showing some sort of a pulse or a pushback against those teams during the course of the regular season, and you have not been able to see that. And the next 12 games, you will. And it starts tomorrow night down in Houston against the Astros. Give me a little something. It's one thing, like, you can all appreciate for, you know, beating up on the Washington Nationals. You can go out there and appreciate, you know, doing what you did against Chicago. You can go out there and appreciate the two-game set down at George Steinbrenner Field down in Tampa against the Rays, in which everyone's hit home runs left and right. You can appreciate what Stan's been able to do coming off the IL. You know, but I'd like to appreciate the Yankees taking a series against Houston. I'd like to appreciate the Yankees not getting embarrassed by Toronto. I'd like to see the Yankees go out there and do something against Detroit. I'm not telling you to win each and every one of these series, but by golly, don't go out there over the next 12 games and give me 3-9. And then all of a sudden beat up on Minnesota and beat up on Baltimore and beat up on Chicago and then beat up on Baltimore. And then I have Yankee fans calling up telling me, you know what, the Yankees have found themselves once again. Their mojo is back. I believe, no, what I've seen from this Yankee team during the course of the season outside of yesterday is they're very good at beating up on bad teams. And don't call me up talking about the fact that they won a series against Seattle. I don't care. The next 12 games, for this Yankee team, I'd like to see a little something that I can lean into. We talk about the word belief. I'd like to see something I can believe in. you know, going into that final stretch where the Yankees have one doormat after another. That's not too much to ask. A team whose goal is to win a World Series. A team who went out there and dealt with and gave Cashman all the credit in the world for the pivot that he made. Added guys like Fried and Bellinger and Goldschmidt after losing, you know, Juan Soto in free agency to the New York Mets as he left for $765 million. It's not all that much to ask to see this Yankee team go out there and over the course of the next 12 and do a little something. And start tomorrow night against Houston. Because if they're able to do that, then you can look at the final stretch of that season, those four series, Twins, Orioles, White Sox, and Orioles to close out the year. And you know what? If the Yankees are able to build a little bit of momentum, then you can start to think about this team going out there in the AL playoffs, getting themselves back to the Fall Classic with this rotation of Fried and Rodon and Schlittler and obviously Heel. Put them in whatever discerning order you'd like to, but Fried obviously leading the way. The back end of the bullpen with the addition of Cruz to go along with, obviously, Bednar taking over the closer's role. Williams showing a little bit of a pulse. Then you go with this lineup. If Judge can go out there, and I understand there are a lot of ifs, but if Judge can actually go out there and play the field, then you throw Judge back into the outfield, and you've got Stan as your everyday DH. The one thing you know about Giancarlo, and he has been the best version of Stan since we've seen him in a Yankee uniform since he's come off the IL, but we do know this about Stan. He hits in October. As much nonsense as he has taken since being traded over here from the Marlins to the Yankees and the Boo Birds coming out at the stadium, I'll tell you this, you know, he has been an absolute monster this year for the Yankees. Where would they be without Stanton hitting one big time, having one big time moment, one big time home run after another? He's been great. But the next 12, to me, important. I'm not looking for 10-2. Not looking for 11-1, not looking for pie in the sky kind of stuff. Here's the one thing I love. Give me a little pulse. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't go out there and make boneheaded plays in the field, throw to the wrong base, don't make defensive miscues, don't have four errors in a game, don't run yourself out of an inning, a bad send, you know, by the third base coach at Rojas. Don't go out there and all of a sudden forget how many outs there are in the inning. Things that we have seen from this Yankee team this year where you say, well, where the hell are the fundamentals? What exactly is being taught in this organization as we have the call of the manager? It's a yearly trait. Every single year we get it. You know, there comes a point in the time in the long MLB regular season. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint, where we're calling for the job of Aaron Boone. But don't do any of that nonsense over the next 12. Play good, clean, crisp baseball. Fried has shown a pulse the last two starts. Rodon's been better than advertised. You look at Schlittler's been an answer in that starting rotation. Heel a positive start in a 3-2 loss yesterday to the Chicago White Sox. Back into the bullpen, starting to round into form. You know what Stan's been able to do? He's got out there, played the outfield, has not been hurt. Judge is starting to turn a corner offensively. You've gotten big-time years, whether it be Bellinger, whether it be Grisham in center field, and obviously what you've gotten from Jazz Chisholm. McMahon's been a stiff offensively, but at least he's been good at third base defensively. Ben Rice, throw him in behind the plate to go along with the downturn with Wells behind home plate. And you know what? This Yankee team, there are positives when you look at this group. But you'd like to see them actually win some games against good teams. That's really not all that much to ask. Because it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was a week ago before the Nats came to town, before they went on the road to Chicago to take on the White Sox, where the Yankees dropped 3 of 4, and basically, you know, the Bronx was burning, according to Yankee fans, after losing that series against the Boston Red Sox. Wasn't all that long ago. Next 12. Not too much to ask. Don't need 11-1. Don't need 10-2. Don't even need 9-3. Go 8-4. Go 7-5. I'll take 6-6. That really wouldn't be all that much. Give me 6-6 over the course of the next 12 before it's the Twins, the Orioles, the White Sox, and the Orioles to close out the regular season. You'll take it. Tough loss yesterday in Chicago. Now 3 games back of the Blue Jays in the American League East. No concerns about whether or not this team is going to be a playoff team in 2025. They will. But now, start to build a little confidence against the upper echelon teams that have owned you here in the regular season. 7-19 and 7-19 and 26. They are combined 5-15 against Toronto and Boston, which is dreadful. Dreadful. Start to change that. Give me a little something. Those teams don't necessarily fear the Yankees as an organization like they once did. Start to put a little bit of fear here in the month of September. You'd like to see it. 11-17, Mark Melusis with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Kick off the 11 o'clock hour, a little bit of Yankee baseball. Mets got us going, both on the board. Plenty of your calls. We'll take them next, right here, The Fan in New York. 11-22 on this Labor Day Monday. Mark Melusis with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Let's head out to Syosset. It's Frank. It's The Fan. What's going on, Frank?
Yeah, just a little annoyed today, Mark. And I know where they stand in as far as the wild card and division goes. I understand where they stand. And I know who they're playing. You just mentioned them in the next 12 games. I called strictly to vent to you about yesterday's game only. Yesterday's game. The home plate umpire, I think, made a horrible call. The last strike of the game. I mean, horrible. I mean, they got the tying run on second. The go-ahead run is at the plate. And I think he made a bad call. I don't think that was a strike. I think it was the ball. Second of all, I know it's like taboo to say anything about Aaron Judge. But sometimes you got to call him out. I mean, that was the first game yesterday since July. He had a 3-for-4, 3-for-5 game. And I understand the guy's got a ton of home runs, ton of RBIs, great fielder, first ballot Hall of Famer. But, you talk a lot about meeting the moment, and you use Stanton as an example, and I agree with you. I'm a Stanton fan. I just think he comes up short a lot of times when it comes to meeting the moment. Meeting the moment. I mean, great first home run, nobody on base, the lead off the game, 1-0 Yanks. Fantastic. But we needed him yesterday not to pop out in the ninth. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm just frustrated. Sometimes he frustrates me.
Well, Frank, you can get into the Bellinger and the cold strike three to end the game and Judge. On the season with runners on bases, with runners in scoring position, he's hitting .337. Does that do anything for you? Nah, not necessarily after a 3-2 loss to Chicago. .231 with scoring position and two out. In the month of October, when we get to the playoffs, obviously that has been a big issue for Aaron Judge, not being able to meet the moment where, he has been the guy that's been able to carry this team or have those kind of moments that captivate you and catapult the team forward. And you expect that because he's got the talent to do so, because you see it time and time again during the course of the regular season. Yeah, you'd love to see the Yankees riding an 8-game winning streak going into Houston tomorrow night. You'd love to see them be within 2 games, not 3, of the Toronto Blue Jays with a loss yesterday afternoon in Chicago, or the White Sox 3-2. You'd think if you hold Chicago, to 2 runs until, Hill gives up that home run in the 8th inning, that, for the majority of the game, you hold Chicago to 2 runs, that you're going to be able to generate enough offense. They didn't. I mean, they didn't. So you can get into the pop out of Judge, the cold strike three of Bellinger. You can, it's a tough loss, but I don't take anything. I don't look at this team differently. Just like I don't look at this team differently when they went out there and embarrassed Chicago first 2 or 3 games of this series, or what they did against the Washington Nationals, afternoon game before this series got going. I don't draw anything. I'll draw something from the next 12.
I don't mind them losing, Mark, but that was a horrible call by the home plate umpire, and I appreciate you not getting on me for my criticism of my little criticism of Judge.
No, what do you mean? I'm not getting on yet. Listen, this is what we do here at WFAN, right? We react to games on a day in day out basis. You're dedicating time yesterday afternoon to watch a little Yankee baseball in Chicago, right? It's a holiday weekend. You get frustrated because it's a game that the Yankees should win. I get it, Frank. I understand. I don't overreact necessarily to one game. It was a bad loss. You'd like to win the game. You didn't. Next 12, I'd like to see this Yankee team show a little bit of a pulse. See, if you go into this next 12 and the Yankees go 3-9, they go 4-8, they play, you know, they're not able to meet the moment. They play sloppy, dopey baseball. I talked about it the other day, you know, a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, Yankees should have a sign instead of, the Joe DiMaggio sign. I thank the good Lord for making me a Yankee. They should have a sign every time they go out to the field where it says, let's not play stupid today. Because the Yankees have had a penchant this year for playing a really dumb brand of baseball against upper echelon teams.
Yeah, and they left 10 guys on base yesterday, Mark. Yep. I appreciate the time, and enjoy your Labor Day.
You got it, Frank. Enjoy your day, and I appreciate the call. Let's head out to Long Beach. It's Mario. It's the Fan. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, Moose? How you doing, my friend?
Good, Mario. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good. You know, let's understand one thing I don't think the people don't even realize, right? First of all, winning 3 out of 4 against any team is good. If you look at stats, right, the worst team wins 33% of their games, and the best team wins 66 or less. So in a 3-game series, the worst team is going to win 1 game out of 3, usually against the best team. So winning 3 out of 4 is not bad. And yesterday, the reason why they lost that game is because Stanton got robbed of a homer. If he doesn't get robbed of a homer, they win that game.
Right. You know, 10 on base, 1 of 5 with runners in scoring position. Mario, yeah, it's a loss. You're going to move on. Next 12, like I've said before, I look at more of a disappointing. I don't think it is a sign of things to come. I want to see the Yankees do something next 12 games.
Yeah, 2 more quick points. The other caller beating up Aaron Judge is ridiculous. He had 3 hits. If he doesn't get a hit, they had no runs, by the way, because he hit a homer and he got the double that scored the second run. So they get no runs. So you got to give him a break. He had 3 hits yesterday. Last thing I just want to say is when you look at beating good teams, yes, it's important. But they could have a bad record against the good teams now and beat them in the playoffs. Perfect case in point, even though it's a different sport, is the Knicks could beat nobody with a good record in the playoffs, and then they won 4 out of 6 against Boston when they were 0-for-6 during a regular season. So it can happen. Yankee fan, let's go Yankees. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, Mario. Strange series, though. You know, let's also not forget, I mean, you know, they won that series in 7 games, but, I mean, Tatum didn't play the last 2 games after rupturing his Achilles tendon. I mean, that is a big factor, and we know that Jaylen Brown was playing with a knee injury that he got cleaned up following the year. But I get it, yes. I mean, don't let that get in the way of a good story, and we all love when the Knicks are relevant in this town, but the Knicks are going to go into this season with the highest expectations in, you'd probably say 30 years, something of that nature. I mean, it's been a while since you've thought about the Knicks being on this kind of championship level. New head coach, Mike Brown, you don't have, there's no Tom Thibodeau, the Minutes Police celebrating all over the tri-state area, enjoyed a nice toast and a glass of champagne or their favorite libation after Thibodeau got fired. Load management, the guys on the team that didn't love their role now could all celebrate. We're going to get more offensive now with Mike Brown, going to be able. Champagne or their favorite libation after Thibodeau got fired. Load management, the guys on the team that didn't love their role now could all celebrate. We're going to get more offensive now with Mike Brown, going to be able to push the ball. So we'll see exactly how that version of the New York Knicks looks during the course of the regular season, because you know the Knicks are focused on trying to win an NBA title. Dominic in East Rochester is up next on the Fan. What's going on, Dominic?
Hey, hi, Moose. So it's Labor Day, so we're both working, right, Moose?
Yes, it is Labor Day. We are working, no question about it.
You know, and Moose, I want to talk to you about Major League pitching in general, but just before I get there, I don't usually pay attention to, you know, the next 12 games or this or that, but these next 12 games are going to show us what the heck is going on. And we're going to face a couple of aces, too. You know we're going to face Detroit's ace, and we're going to face Boston's ace. You know, so we're going to face some pretty damn good pitchers. So let's see what happens. And, you know, I want 8-4, but we'll see. We'll see. Moose, on pitching overall, there's something that you reminded me of today that is just so darn troubling. Two things you said, that starting pitching is devalued and that a guy, these guys don't seem to be able to pitch with their B stuff. And this is something I said over the years, Moose, that, you know, the true pitchers, of course, most of these guys are throwers. That's why they can't, you know, play with the pitch with their B stuff. But I know he's a Hall of Famer, but, you know, you give me Catfish Hunter, who go out there with what you call his C stuff, and he's going to give you seven innings, give up two runs, and give you a chance to win the game.
Right. I mean,
but, you know, Moose, the first part about the, you know, devalued, you know, you would think they could stretch these guys out in the minor leagues, Moose, but in the minor leagues, they also are developing the relievers. And it's a catch 22. It's a catch 22.
Yeah, Dominic, Darling's talked about this. I think he was referencing Paul Skeens, the clip that I saw in Pittsburgh. And other guys have talked about it as well. I think it's now with the how hard guys go out there and throw, it's the fear of just how many pitches a guy does have, how many max effort pitches, all that kind of stuff before, you know, whether it be, you know, some sort of injury or overextending, which could lead to an injury, or how does a pitcher fatigue? How fatigued are they? Could that lead to then all of a sudden a change in their delivery, which then could lead to some sort of an arm injury? Like, all of those things come into play. And honestly, I can understand it to a certain degree. I think we've gone off the rails with it to an extent, Dominic, and the way that pitchers are handled and the way that pitchers are coddled and babied in today's day and age. You know, how we celebrate when a guy, like, it's almost like people are weeping in the stands when you see a guy go out there and throw a complete game, because it's like seeing an eclipse. I mean, you never see it anymore. And managers now, I mean, they're salivating to the idea of, can't wait to get into that bullpen. Can't wait to go out there and unveil guys and bring them in and one power arm after another and everyone throwing the ball 98, 99, 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's where we're at in Major League Baseball, but even with all of that, starting pitching does still play. And that's where we kicked off the program this morning about, you know, the Mets. It's non-competitive outside of one guy. And maybe you want to say, well, you think Tong's going to be the answer, going to be a solution, you know, from what you saw on Friday night. And that might prove out to be the case. But right now, the only guy you can count on is McLean. And that's just through three starts, 0.89 ERA, and he's been downright brilliant. But, you know, Senga, that's why you had Manaea, that's why you had Mendoza after the game yesterday talking about the fact that, you know, not guaranteed to make the next start. Sproat with his nine strikeouts, his last start down in AAA. Maybe Sproat gets an opportunity here. You look at Manaea, the dip in velocity, the longer he goes into games, and he's not giving you any sort of length whatsoever. Clay Holmes been hit and miss when it comes to length. And I don't care how good the back end of the bullpen is, you can't continuously call on those guys and expect them to be able to repeat the performance of brilliance. And that's not even counting a guy like Helsley, who came over here from St. Louis and has been a dumpster fire. And it's great to see the report that he was tipping pitches and that they've cleaned that aspect of it up. But still, that's where we're at here when you're looking at the New York Mets. We can talk about the danger factor, the fear factor when it comes to the National League, or that the Mets own the Philadelphia Phillies, and that the Mets wouldn't have any fear of taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers, but you need your starters to do a little something. It can't be this. And you can't tell me, well, you'll get to the playoffs and do what the Dodgers did a year ago and be able to use some bullpen games in order to get yourself through. I don't think that's going to be the solution here either. And that's where I'm here with the Mets, who, you know, backed up a three-game winning streak or a three-game sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies by dropping 3 of 4 to the Miami Marlins. And you got the Yankees, who've got an off day, amazingly enough. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, Major League Baseball here. How exactly are the New York Yankees off on Labor Day? I mean, today should be a day that, you know, everybody's off for the most part. You know, this should be a celebration, you know, end of summer, closing out summer, you know, last day up at Saratoga. You got the U.S. Open going out at Flushing Meadows. And for Major League Baseball, with, you know, college football, and you had Ohio State and Texas on Saturday afternoon, you had LSU and Clemson on Saturday night, you had Miami and Notre Dame last night amongst the raindrops, go Canes as they knocked off the Irish last night, 27-24. You've got the Bill Belichick debut tonight for North Carolina. But, you know, this should be a day that Major League Baseball should grab hold of. But we've been down that road before. I mean, I only bring that up because if somebody called up earlier ripping Rob Manfred from Now to Kingdom Come. But yes, today should be a day. I don't understand why the Yankees have an off day, but tomorrow night they're down in Houston to begin a big 12-game stretch, three with the Strohs, three with the Jays, three with the Tigers, and then three up in Beantown to take on the Red Sox at Fenway Park. The city's biggest indoor pickleball event is coming back October 10th and 11th, and it will sell out. Sign up for the fun or for the cash prizes. Go to 1010wins.com/pickleball for all the information. The pickleball tournament is presented to you by Nissan. At Nissan, we make cars that thrill. Experience the thrill for yourself today. Shop NissanUSA.com. All right, 11:42, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019, in for BT and Sal on this Monday midday. Take you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Let's head out to Massachusetts. It's Dan. It's the fan. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Mark. By the way, Dodgers are off today, too.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yes. by the way, I met, I think his name was Jeff the Dodger fan the other night at the Meadowlands, right? And yep. He was a huge fan, listens. He was like, I listen to FAN all the time. I said, oh, that's awesome. We appreciate that. And he goes, no TV, no computer in my place. I listen to the WFAN 19 hours a day. I'm like, that's impressive, man. That's really cool. Thank you for listening. And yeah. he doesn't think his Dodgers are going to repeat as World Series champs.
Well, you were talking, before I get into the Yankee thing, you were talking earlier about how you really, you know, you see these dominant pitchers, and that's all well and good, but what's really impressive is when you have someone who kind of loses his stuff and he's still really good. Well, there's a guy that finished the month of August 5-0 with an in-run average of 1.88. Fastball is only 89.90 now, and that's Kershaw.
Yes! Who's a terrible big game pitcher, but yes, Kershaw has found a little bit of the fountain of youth.
Yeah, and now, on the Yankees, I'm going to connect this to the Yankees, but have you noticed how pitchers, they get these batters at 0-2, 1-2, 2-2 counts, throwing the best stuff, hot stuff, and then they try to put the batters away with that 83, 84 mile per hour breaking ball. It allows the batters to get the bat on the ball. And you know what happens when that happens, bad things can occur, you know? And especially with a runner in scoring position, it drives me crazy. I'm yelling at the TV, don't throw a sweeper, don't throw a changeup, you know? But with the Yankees, other teams have three or four lefties. The Yankees have only one. Not the typical left-hander, by the way. That the typical lefty I want is a guy with a breaking ball with bite that comes in to pitch to those left-handed batters in crucial situations. Hill, this has nothing to do with yesterday because he faced a right-handed batter. But he throws a four-seam fastball and a sinker. A team needs a lefty to get lefties out late in the games with that hard slider or the curves, you know, that it breaks down in a way with bite.
Hill
throws straight. He's no straight balls.
Yeah, but, you know, Hill's been pretty good. I mean, he's got under 3 RA on the season.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Appearances. So, you know, Hill's been, and I understand he gave up the home run yesterday, but outside of that, how about Talkman, though, call a reference it earlier, stealing Stanton of a
We only got one lefty, Mark.
I understand they've only got one lefty. I get it. I understand, Dan, but you're not going to be, going down that pathway now, I mean, we've been down that road. In terms of going out there, bringing a guy in. I mean, we got past the MLB trade deadline, so it is what it is. That is not to me, you know, that's down on the list, Dan, of concerns when I'm looking at the New York Yankees.
Yeah, well, what I'm concerned about as far as the Yankees go is when they get into the postseason and they're not going to hit. They don't seem to hit against the good pitching. That's my main concern on the Yankees.
Well, and you'd like to see them start to change that narrative over the next 12. I mean, that's what we've talked about. Sal in Brooklyn's up next to the fan. What's going on, Sal?
Moose, what's going on, buddy? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sal.
You know,
maybe because we've seen it, well, I've seen enough baseball, and I'm with you on this with the Yanks. You know, come back 500, a little better, but just show me you're not overrunning a bag. Show me you know there are two outs, not three. Show me, like Jazz yesterday walked out of the box with ball three. He thought it was ball four. Show me that you're a ball player, man. Get your game in the head and play the game right, because there are people like myself that watch and can't understand how do you not know there's two outs? You're walking off the field. Why are you throwing to a wrong bag? I mean, you're professionals. These are things you have to know. And until they improve with that, then maybe they can win something other than not being as sloppy on the field. Also, they're so scripted. It's kind of sad. You got a kid like Dominguez that can't even play because they put an infielder in left field. That's how afraid they are to put this guy in left field, yet they say they want to develop him. Player development is just as bad with the Yankees as it is with that pitch in left.
But Sal, let's be realistic with Dominguez. But Sal, you know, he's a terrible outfielder.
Well, when you're putting an infielder out there who can't play the outfield either, at least he can hit and run. Don't tell me that Caballero's faster than him. He's a better base runner, because he's not. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's Roberto Clemente out there by any means.
But Sal, if you're going to put a guy out there who's not an outfielder. You're ripping Caballero, who can play multiple positions and can play the infield and can also play the outfield. If a ball is hit to left field, who do you have more confidence in making the catch, Jose Caballero or Jason Dominguez?
They're both the same.
No, they're not.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll agree to disagree.
they're not one and the same. I would trust Caballero more. The Martian, we're a long way away from everyone running around yelling out his nickname. He's not necessarily the offensive player you expect him to be, and he's a brutal defensive player.
Oh, 100% brutally defensively, but at least late in games, every team that comes out there has got a righty coming out of the pen. At least you get him up on the right side of the plate to try to do something with the squad. That's all. Looking long-term with this thing. 7th, 8th, 9th inning, not just 1-5 or 1-6.
Well, and the Yankees, anyway, you know, they told you at the MLB trade deadline all the moves that they made, they have become multiple, like the Toronto Blue Jays, instead of just being themselves. Yeah. So the Yankees have got options here. Now, how do they use those options, and do they maximize those options? Well, that remains to be seen.
But the options, it's not like if these are game-changing options. They just game-managing options, not game-changing options. That's all.
Well, you never know. I mean, Sal, I don't know if I necessarily, you know, I'm not going to diminish what guys can go out there and do. You know, we've seen secondary and tertiary players in the playoffs have moments to be able to catapult a team into the next round or to win a big playoff game. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, having a touch and having a feel about what's going on. Bruce in Rockland County is up next in the family. What's going on, Bruce?
Yeah, hey, Moose. Getting back to your point and the caller also who brought it up to you, if the Yankees not being scheduled, as if that isn't bad enough. Okay, so the Mets are scheduled, but it's a road game. So it's a joke that in the largest baseball market, you're telling me there's no home game to go to on Labor Day? I mean, baseball just kills itself with this stuff.
Yeah, Bruce, I don't disagree with you. I mean, that should be a case where you do have something to go out there and do. Really final day, schools open up around. I mean, my kids are already back at school. They went back last week. But schools are again going here this week and so on and so forth. I don't agree. Now, you do have 13 games up on the schedule, so it's not like everybody's off or you're not doing out there. If we're going to do it locally here, you know, the Mets are in Detroit taking on the Tigers afternoon, and the Yankees should be playing today, but they begin a series tomorrow night down in Houston.
I mean, again, they had a long stretch of games, but, you know, recalling they could have had, like, a way to schedule it so they were off last Monday, so they'd be playing this Monday and, you know, breaking it up that way, you know? It's just stupid.
Yeah, it is. I think it's just a misstep. I think it's a case where every team should be playing today. Let's head out to Inglewood, New Jersey. It's Joe. It's the fan. What's going on, Joe?
How you doing, Mark?
Good, Joe.
Mark, I got three quick gambling questions. I got the Yankees under 89.5. Is that a winner or a loser?
Under 89.5. They've got 26 to go. They're sitting here now with 76.
I'm on pace. Yeah, it's on pace for like 90 right now. But what do you think?
I think that's going to be a winner. I think that, right, no. Under. You said under 89.5. I think that's going to be a loser. I think that's going to be a loser.
All right. I got the New York Football Giants over 5.5.
I think that's going to be a winner. I do.
All right.
And I'm not like losing my mind over the preseason, losing my mind over Jackson Dart. I just think that, you know, the Cowboys train away Micah Parsons, concerns about the Commanders' defense, Philadelphia, the team to beat, very difficult schedule. You know, Daboll, how hot is the seat he's on as head coach of the New York Giants? I think they surpass 5.5 wins on the year.
Yeah, I think the defense, I'm hoping, will win a couple games for them. If they don't, with the talent they have on that defense, they should. And then I also got a week one. Who do you got in the survivor pool?
Oh, week one survivor. I always get nervous.
I'll hang up and listen.
Mark. You got it. Appreciate it. Good luck to you. Week one survivor that you don't want to use the rest of the way. I mean, the easy one would be Cincinnati. They're on the road, Cleveland. Flacco, a quarterback for the Browns. The Browns are going to be dreadful, even with Myles Garrett back in the fold. However, the caveat to that is Cincinnati starts these seasons, and it's been an issue for Zach Taylor out there in Cincinnati. They start the seasons very, very poorly. I think Arizona is going to go on the road and beat New Orleans. But still, it's Kyler Murray at quarterback. He's kind of like the girl with the curl. You never exactly know what you're going to get from him at quarterback. But, you know, Arizona, New Orleans, I think, is going to be really, really bad this year. You'd like to go with home teams. You really would. Yeah, I think you're going to have to go with a road team. You could take the one that would be intriguing. It'd be a gutsy pick if you're looking for a home team. Would be the Indianapolis Colts home against Miami. But that's Jones, a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And not much of a spread between the two teams. Indy is a 1.5 favorite. It's more of a pick'em game than anything else. If you really want to get gutsy week number one, I think the Dolphins have the potential to be really bad this year. Obviously, with the reports coming out of Miami, McDaniel, whether he's, you know, got control of everything going on in that locker room. You've got Tua Hill coming off a bad year. You still got Jaylen Waddle. HN a little bit banged up. Defensively, I don't know. I don't really love both lines when you're looking at Miami, offensively and defensively. The Colts would be a good one if you're looking for a home team. But that's kind of putting it all out there on the line. If you're looking for a layup, the layup would be Cincinnati. Defense is going to stink for Cincinnati, even with Hendrickson still back in the fold and them working out that one-year deal and then paying for the upcoming year, kind of putting the Band-Aid on the issue out there in Cincinnati. But new defensive coordinator and Al Golden coming over from Notre Dame. The Bengals, I would imagine, bounce back or get off to a good start this year on the road in Cleveland, but that's a divisional game. Arizona would be the other one on the road in New Orleans. I'm not great with knockouts. I'm really not, to be perfectly honest with you. If you do a little self-evaluation, some years I'm really good. Some years, you know, you get knocked out early, and it's the tidal wave. But those would be the three. Richard Manhattan, the fan. What's going on, Richard?
Moose, yesterday we saw this guy come in for the Mets. Long relief. I haven't seen that in years. 4-30. He was almost perfect. Where did that come from?
Desperation.
Wow. And that, you know what? That means he should be doing that more often in 2-1 games, 3-2 games, not in games where you're down by a lot. And just to throw him out there so you can see where, leave these guys in there. That guy went 4-3. That guy pitched well. Forget about Senga. We might use this guy. We'll see. Maybe he can start for us in the playoffs with another couple of pitching performances like that. But, you know, it's all about who's pitching good at this time.
Okay. I mean, Richard, you can look at it that way, or you can look at it, the game was 5-1. Alcantara was dealing. He threw 7 innings. The Mets were looking to get some length out of somebody. They couldn't go into the bullpen and use their max stress guys. I don't think the Mets all of a sudden come out of that game and learned a little bit of something about, you know, Waddle, who came in and relieved Senga.
Okay. Major League Baseball is in great shape. There are 30 teams, correct, Moose? 30 teams.
Right.
16 are over 500. 16. 12 make the playoffs. 12 make the playoffs. 16 still have a very good chance. And then you got 4 who are barely under 500. Arizona, San Francisco, Tampa, and St. Louis. You have, with 25 games left to go, each team has 25 left. 1 month, 20 out of the 30 teams, two-thirds, still have a shot at the playoffs. That's fantastic. Are you kidding me? This is fantastic. This is going to be some race till the end. I mean, I really think that baseball, you know, the way the divisions are set up, and, you know, you have an unlikely likelihood. Let's say Kansas City sneaks by Boston in the playoffs. It's very low chance, but let's say Kansas City beats out Boston.
Yeah, they're five and a half games back.
Right, very, very small chance. But that will mean two teams from each division, 12 teams each, two in each division makes the playoffs. You can't get more equal than that.
Yeah, but Richard, you're coming out there. Okay, so what about Pittsburgh? What about Colorado? What about Chicago?
All right, and you're going to have, but you always had that. In the old days, you had the Washington
Realistically, Senate. Let's look at realistically, right? Do you really think Cincinnati, San Francisco, Arizona all have a chance of making the playoffs in the National League?
They think they do. Why not?
As a baseball fan, do you? Right now, if I took you to a sports book, you would bet on the Reds to get to the playoffs in the National League?
No, the Reds aren't one of the four.
They're 69-68. Yeah. How are they not one of the teams? They're four games back of the Mets in the National League wildcard race. How are the Reds not part of it?
It's not a question of betting. The question is they think they're going to win and they're going to be fighting. Yeah. That's the greatest thing. That's what's great.
I know, but there is reality of the scenario here. Like you can say, okay, well, I mean, do you really look at Tampa with a realistic opportunity, a couple games under 500? How about the Cleveland Guardians, who have got like a third of the payroll of the Yankees? They've had two relievers suspended under a gambling investigation by Major League Baseball. Like, you look at the Cleveland Guardians, a realistic chance. The Kansas City Royals, you think the Royals are now all of a sudden going to run down the Seattle Mariners? I mean, I don't, you know, like, that's it. There's perception, and then there's reality. So you want to call up, kind of drinking the Kool-Aid for Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, and you want to kind of bell the toll and toll the bell that all is well. Everything is great. We're cooking with gas, as my dad used to say. 1158, Melusa's with you, 888-80-